We have the tech to get food delivered in 15 minutes, but we all have horror stories about buying tickets. The Game Time app gives fans the advantage. Get amazing tickets in just a few taps. Fees are included, so what you see is what you pay. And the Game Time guarantee means authentic tickets at the best price every time. Take the guesswork out of buying tickets to concerts, sports, comedy, and more with Game Time. Download the Game Time app and create an account for $20 off your first purchase. Terms apply.
Hello and welcome to another edition of Laughable Advice, where we take your real life relationship troubles, give you a little bit of advice, but we're going to have a few laughs along the way, because as my grandfather used to say, if you're not laughing, you're crying. We have another great episode lined up for today. I'm your host, Vince Barry. You may or may not have heard me on 99.1 PLR FM. The old terrestrial radio. And of course, I have my lovely co-host from Fox's 99 to beat D Ortiz. How are you doing today, D?
I'm good. How are you?
Oh, I am really excited because we have a very special guest. You may have heard him in a prior episode. I don't know what order they're releasing in, but we have comedian, improv comedian, Ron Hill with us. How are you doing today?
I'm great, thank you. Hello, everybody, and thank you both for all of this.
Yeah, and I will get it out of the way again. We've discussed this for the video viewers. Well, for the podcast listeners, for audio only, you won't get this. For the viewers, if you see in the center seat, Captain of the Brown Coats from Firefly, Nathan Fillion, or from ABC's The Rookie, or from my favorite Nathan Fillion series, Castle. That's one that nobody talks about. It's Ron, but also, if you imagine that he is a brown coat captain fighting the Reavers on Firefly, it also works. I'm just gonna keep throwing Firefly references in there for me and our producer, who was shaking his head because he understood that reference. But we have a slew of stories, as usual, real life relationship stories of things that may or may not have gone wrong. I'm trying to decide which one I want to start with, because our last episode here, we talked about, when Ron was on, dating comics. So I don't think I want to start right away with dating comics, but I do have something we can talk about that's related to that topic. However, I've got something lined up here that I think will be interesting for all of us. So before I begin reading this story, if you have a story you'd like to share, whether it's something you found on Reddit or whether it's your own real life relationship story, email us laughableadvice@gmail.com or follow us on social media at laughableadvice, all one word, laughableadvice, and send us a DM. You can change names. We'll keep things discreet, but we do want to hear your stories so we can talk about them. This one that I have on my screen right now is from about 2 or 3 weeks ago. So it's a fairly recent story from a subreddit that I've become addicted to called Girl Dinner Diaries. Don't look at me like that, Nathan Fillion. All right.
Okay.
It's called Girl Dinner Diaries. And what they do is they take a picture of the meal they're eating at the time. And most of the time it's something really sad, like a handful of nuts and a thing of Yoplait. You know what I mean? It's always the most depressing random meal you could possibly have. And then they tell, their girl dinner diary. So this one here, first of all, corned beef sandwich and a soup from my work with about the driest looking pretzel bun and cup of coffee you could possibly ever want. Wow. Yeah, that's not a good look. So that's a sad one.
And the packaged mustard on the side is...
The mustard's not already on the sandwich. You have to add them. Yeah, that's like baseball stadium style. Like on a paper plate.
On a paper plate.
But here's the weird thing. It's a paper plate, but it's got a china cup, like a real cup, coffee cup.
It was the balance for me.
So we've got... That's the dinner, a corned beef sandwich and soup from my work. That is soup, not coffee. Explains the chunks.
Oh.
Explains the chunks.
Mm. My coffee. Is she at work and they served it on the plate?
So she's, right. So she's current. I don't know if she put the cup on the paper plate. Maybe to take the picture she did. But she is telling this story while eating this meal. The story is called "Flew Across the Country to Reconnect with My Ex and Received Psychological Damage Instead." That's a long...
Is she surprised?
Yeah, what did you think? You know, we could stop reading this and be like, girl, what did you think was going to happen?
Yeah, exactly. And you flew across the country?
Exactly.
Did he pay, though?
Mm.
Oh, let's see.
He's looking for the detail. Let me see.
No, I think she flew on. Because listen, I've taken a train to Boston to see an ex, and that was a bad idea. Flying across the country, significantly more time and money investment.
Yeah. And like, did he know she was coming? Well, these are things I need to know. Does she have an email? Like, I need to talk to her.
I wish she elaborated more in the original post, because this is her story. We had sex multiple times. When we were saying goodbye at the airport, he held my face like I was a dying Victorian woman in a period drama. I can already see she's a little
dramatic.
Yeah, smidge.
Yeah, yeah.
But I can just picture up. Just
I pictured it very shaky and like fragile, and it was so good.
Right, and he's looking, and he's holding her face.
I'm gonna miss you, and he's just doing it because he's like, she's going back home.
Right,
so let me just make her feel good for this moment.
My dearest Elizabeth, you know what I mean?
Literally, like, get out of the novels.
This is very much.
Yes. She's a Bridgerton watcher.
Yes,
I felt it as soon as I pictured it.
We're gonna keep going here. You're gonna see a dying Victorian woman in a period drama. I told him I loved him so much still, and he told me he loved me too.
Lies, yeah.
She's about to get on an airplane. I love you too. Uh-huh. Thank you for all that sex. Yeah. Bye.
You know who you say I love you to? Your grandma when you're on the phone. Yeah. I say I love you to my grandma.
Yes.
Well, not anymore.
Same.
But you know.
Same.
So they said they loved each other. He loved me too. A week after I got back, we talked until 3 a.m. about psychic connections, signs from the universe, and how we couldn't stop emotionally feeling each other.
Aww.
Yeah.
She's not beating the Bridgerton romance novel kind of allegations here.
She's moved on.
Also, as a guy, like, I don't want to reveal all of our secrets like it's one of those magician's code things and I'm the masked magician, but if a guy is talking to you about all this stuff, psychic connections and stuff until 3 a.m., he doesn't believe it. He's definitely doesn't believe it. And B, he's doing the lowest, like, level of, he's like Googling. He's like, well, what moon sign am I? Just to like keep in the conversation. And if you look back, I bet the conversation was, she was talking about psychic connections and emotional things across the universe, and he was going, watching LeBron James play against the 76ers and texting her back going, yep, that sounds good. Emotional connection. Hey, man, get me another beer. Emotional connection. I got some crystals, too. You know what I mean?
Like, they're not even on the same time zone. So she was probably morning, and she's like staying up until 3 a.m.
Because if it's 3 a.m. for her and she flew across the country, that means it's like,
I'm thinking London, just because I have friends over there, so that's 5 hours after. So, like, it's morning for him, and she stayed up all night.
He's having a cup of tea.
Yeah,
and
he's having tea and a crumpet or two.
You're right, a crumpet and a strumpet.
And a crumpet and a stumpet.
A little girl, he's having a little piece on the side here. When I finally asked if this meant he wanted to reconnect romantically, he was like, I tell everyone I love them, and I hardly touched you when I was there. That's what she said in the first. We had sex multiple times. So her response is, brother, what do you mean? She added the accent on them. What do you mean you hardly touched me? We spiritually merged at the airports.
Oh my God.
Nope. And your parts were inside my parts all weekend.
Well, she didn't romanticize that part.
How did she get all the flowery language for everything else and she didn't go, we spent our time under the covers?
She went gangster. She went from Bridgerton to the witchcraft movie. She literally went from like sweet to like
crazy.
Was it crazy.
The Craft?
Yeah. She literally went from, oh, it was so sweet the way he held my face to, I never said that. We didn't do nothing. Yeah. Who the hell was in me then?
Right.
Was that not him?
Her and the rest of the Sanderson sisters are casting spells. I know it's the wrong movie.
They're still witches. It's fine.
They are still witches.
We're in that moment.
So she's pretty. What do you mean you hardly touched me? We spiritually merged. See, this is the part that I don't like. We spiritually merged at the airport. What does that mean? That means that's a meaningless phrase.
That phrase makes me want to throw up. I'm not impressed with the way she's speaking. personally.
Was she a virgin? Because I feel like she got more into this than... Yeah.
You might have cracked the code on that.
Because I feel like that's what you hear from people that like wait forever to have sex. Yes. And then they finally do it and it means everything to them. And then like to you, because you already slept with everybody, you're just like, oh, that was cute. Thanks. Love you too.
Yep.
Like, and then he probably thought about it. Yeah. Like, good job. Thanks. Thanks for that. But or even at the airport saying goodbye, he probably was like, you know, she was very sweet. Like, we had a great time. Yeah. Goodbye. Like, try to like send her off with like a memory. But then like she messed it up. She wanted to talk about spiritual and all this stuff. He was like, what the hell? We were just having fun.
I do think that this does happen. At least I've been in this situation. I don't want to speak for other men. I don't want to speak for women. But I've certainly been in a situation. I've been in the situation where it's not even that you're not interested in the person. It's just that there's so much, like, the language, this type of language and this type of, like, it's just so much pressure and it's very tiring. It can be very tiring to kind of just interact with someone who's constantly wording things this way and you have to decipher every.
Well, and that's what we're doing here, because she says we were at the airport. We spiritually merged. He grabbed me by the face and said, I love you.
And we felt it. We were here for that. We felt you, girl.
But that is the romance novel version of this. Okay. What if in real life, he dropped her off at the airport, they hugged, he gave her a little peck on the cheek, said, love you, bye, and left. And that, and she took the small interaction and wrote it into the, you know, a long flight home.
I was going to say, on that 8-hour flight, she was like, oh, that was the best moment, and like pictured it.
Mm-hmm.
And then went with that story. She's probably a Gemini. Sometimes I do that. Like, if something happens, I'm going to add a little more to it, you know?
Mm-hmm.
This is where I have to ask, seriously, does the horoscope thing, I'm an Aquarius, you just mentioned Gemini, is it real? Does it matter? I mean, listen, I feel like there is a split for the most part between guys and men and women. Mm. And there's, you know, a few people floating in between here that, you know, are in the middle zone. I feel like it's very split, men and women. Horoscope, yes. You know, horoscope is garbage. Like,
I'm obsessed with it. I've always been obsessed with it. I meet a person and I like them. I'm like, what sign are you? Because I think the thing is, I'm a people person, so I've just learned people's personality. So like, I know people that approach me first. Like, some people are like, I'm scared to approach you. You know, you look welcoming, but like, it's intimidating. And I'm like, why? I'm like the happiest person. Come talk to me. But the ones that have the most balls are Scorpio. Scorpio men, Scorpio women will come up to me with some bull. And I'll be like, oh, that's so funny. Wait, what sign are you? Because they always have the most balls with me. But like, usually I'm the approacher with people. Like, I go up to people and I'm very much my sign. I'm very outgoing. I'm very straight to the point. I'm hurting your feelings. And while I'm hurting your feelings, I'm like, stop, stop, stop. But then I'm like, I'm going to have to apologize for that later. Like, I'm a mess.
You're going to going, but you have to apologize.
Yeah. Okay. I'm going to prove my point. And then I'm going to be like, oh, I'm sorry I had to do it. But like, you're wrong. So, yeah, I believe it. And you're air sign like me, so we're kind of the same. Wait, what are you?
I'm a Taurus.
Oh, that's cute.
Do you think that maybe one day you want to be like an escort?
Ooh, there we go.
Move up from, it's a Ford also, I'm sorry. I tried to tag it with another car, and I could only think of
Ford. I know,
Ford
it was like
escort.
An escort. First thing I thought about, you're pimping him out to be an escort?
There's Contour. There's Contour Sport. Had one of those.
I'm done.
Oh, okay. See, I was thinking maybe we just go all the way past horoscopes into enlightenment, and we go to Buddhism and become a Kia Soul. It's terrible. I'm trying to keep up with the improv guy, and I'm not. I'm a crowd work guy. I'm not an improv.
You did it.
Fantastic.
My mind just went to the escort service. That's what I was thinking. I was like, Ron, you can do that.
Ron just yes-anded the worst bit in the world for 3 minutes, and I appreciate you for that.
Improv king right here. Improv king.
What a generous statement.
You
know, I will say, I don't personally. I'm kind of on the fence. Mm. I've never really personally subscribed to any of the horoscope stuff.
Yeah. Mm.
I do find it a little bit interesting, and I do find it a bit endearing that some people will, you know, send you something and go, oh, this is exactly your sign. This is what's going on with your day.
Right, right.
To an extent.
Yeah.
But I mean, if you're talking about spirits merged at the airport, that's like saying, you know what I mean? Our spirits merged in that public restroom. It seems like just a weird dichotomy right. of like information.
Yeah.
Two souls intertwined at the baggage claim.
And like, not for nothing. I'm very spiritual in my own sense. And somebody talking to me like that, I'd be like, oh, I wouldn't know how to respond. And for me not to know how to respond mm-hmm. to anything is like, oh, I would be a little spooked out.
Mm. I'm thinking about this in another way as well. We're reading, you know, I'm reading it out loud. The people who are consuming this would read it on a website.
Yeah.
Now imagine the real person telling you this story in person. What would you, how?
See?
You'd have to keep a straight face. That's like, there's a lot of things you'd have to keep in check. I'd start laughing. As soon as she said the dying Victorian woman, I would have been done. I would have been like completely just joking the whole time. She would have been mad if she was, mm-hmm. if I was a friend and she told me the story.
Yeah. I would, me being me, I'd be like, oh, that's so cute. Really? Like, I would. I'm not even going to lie. If I had a friend and they came up to me and said that, I'd be like, he held your face like that. That is so sweet. Oh my goodness. And I'd be like, how was the sex? Was it amazing? And then I'd like get on to details. But honestly, I would go with it because I'd be like, that's so sweet. But like not knowing a person, it kind of like creeps me out. But maybe a friend, I'd probably be like, I'd probably entertain it. I'm not going to lie. Okay. I would entertain it. I would.
I think it's important. I think the similes, the placement of the similes are important because she didn't say we had sex like I was a dying Victorian.
Yeah.
Which would have been a whole different type.
She's very blunt about the sex and so then it's like, very flowery about the relationship mm-hmm. stuff.
Which is how you know something's a lie.
Mm-hmm. Right,
it goes from one extreme to the next.
Yes.
It's not consistent.
Right. We had sex multiple times and your parts were inside my parts all weekend were two of the phrases she used. Amongst dying Victorian woman in a period drama and our souls merged in the airport. So I think you're right where it goes from very kind of, I don't want to say clinical, but it goes from a very just like matter of fact, this is what we did, we had sex, to all this other stuff he held me. How do we know that he held you like a dying Victorian woman? You know what I mean? Like, and the way that she, you know.
I pictured it again. I pictured it. Like, imagine after he's just, like, what does that look like?
I'm
thinking with her head just back.
I'm picturing Heathrow Airport. we're right before the x-ray machines.
Yes. Because
if you don't have a boarding pass, you can't get past the x-ray.
True.
So we're in Heathrow.
True.
But they're both dressed in period 19th century Bridgerton with the frilly thing on the neck.
I see it. Oh,
like Interview with
the
a
ruffle.
Vampire.
I'm all about
ruffle.
The ruffle. I'm all about the ruffle. Prince wore a ruffle.
Yes.
That's true. That's
right.
True.
And they stand there while she's dying of consumption or something. You
it
know what I mean?
It was the best thing in her life. She was so limp from the ecstasy that like he was holding her and kissed and put her down like softly and held her face and
she's like, "There's morphine in this cough syrup." Oh, I do.
And they just went full into it. He just laid her down on the floor of the airport
and he walked away looking like this.
Yeah, shut her eyes.
One of the stewardesses comes over with that teeny little thin blanket and just puts it over her. Beep. You can sleep now.
Oh yeah, that's a little weird.
I think in general, and I don't mean to kind of generalize this, but I kind of feel like if you're spending the time to write all this and you're using language like this, you may be a little bit hiring for somebody.
Mm.
You might be a little bit exhausted.
Yeah.
Exhausting was the exact word I was thinking of. Yeah. She sounds exhausting.
Like it takes out of you. It's like the friend that was always down and talking to you and you're like, oh, like, so I felt that when you read it because I don't know her.
Right. But the other thing is the way it was addressed. Here's the end tag to this. He also lurks here, meaning Reddit, sometimes. So if you see this, Jay, Godspeed when the comments explain that telling a woman you love her and holding her face dramatically before departure may send mixed signals. Like, she had to throw this little dig in at the end. Dear, to whom it may concern, if you're still reading this, you know what?
Jay, just saying. I was there. Where were you? Like, what? Were you not there? Is it the same Jay? Like, was I imagining it? Like, she's crazy.
No,
she's
I know.
She's crazy.
No, see, this is.
We feel bad. I'm not judging. I'm just saying, like, the way that you're up and down.
It's the way she's internalizing the reality of the situation.
Yeah.
I think we've all been there. You go out on a date and you like somebody and you start seeing, maybe a future with them or you have this image in your head, like, that things are going to go well. And then, on the other side of it, it's somebody who's like, yeah, we went on a date. We had a good time. I don't think I want to go on a second one. While you're like, I want to get married to you.
Okay, I've been there. I am going to say that I've been there.
I've been there
and was a little dramatic, but all right, we all go through it. And I get it. We have feelings. We're emotionally like connected. I get that. But then you have to realize like, shit, okay, it was a moment. I need to like wake up. Like, this isn't going to work.
I also think that in order for your friends or family or a therapist or whoever you're talking to address the issue that you're having, or if you're looking for advice from somebody and you tell this story, the way it's written is designed to gain sympathy for her, which is fine. You know, if you're just looking for sympathy, that's fine. I always ask people that when they ask me advice, I say, are you looking for sympathy or are you looking for advice?
Or
because
the truth.
There's a different, like, or truth.
The truth,
right?
Yeah.
Because I can empathize with you. I can be like, man, listen, this sucks. I know there seems like there's no solution. Or if you're really asking for advice, I'm going to give you advice.
Yeah.
This person, by the way they're typing, is not looking for advice. Mm-mm. They're looking for backup. Mm-hmm. If she was able to tell this story a little more objectively from like a third person, you know, macro perspective instead of like her experience, if she could have just cleaned this up a little bit, I feel like
we wouldn't be
saying these things about her being too much or exhausting or anything, you know?
But I also feel it's her attention seeking for the fact that at the end, and by the way, Jay, if you're watching this,
I
feel like she did it purposely, and now it's not even about advice, it's about her like trying to just poke at him like, how do you know he's on there? How do you know he's lurking on it? Is he really lurking on it?
Of course not. You know who's lurking on it? Me, to find content for our podcast. So all you've done, I don't have the username here because I copied it into a Word document. You gave us content. You didn't solve your problem.
No.
Thank you.
Ladies, don't do that. Ladies, this is coming from a lady, like literally, like that was a mess. That's a mess.
I very much agree. I mean, it's framed in a way that is very much just looking for validation.
Yeah.
Which anybody who writes this way or anybody who tells stories this way is never going to solve the problem, because the problem is not always the other person. I'm not saying that this couldn't have been a situation where he took advantage.
I think he definitely did, but I think she also in the moment, I think she knew the deal. You don't fly to across the country, have a good time and fly off, and then you think, we're going to be together forever.
Right.
He was probably thinking, oh, she's flying over. I haven't seen her in a while. We'll have
connect.
Our fun. And that's it. It was a nice vacation.
Yeah. I said, maybe he did hold her by the face, because again, I've been situationships when, you know the deal, you go to hang out with them, whatever happens, happens. And you still have those emotions. You're going to have those feelings and you're like hoping like, oh, maybe this was the time. This is what's going to make us move forward like together. And maybe she left off that way. Maybe he felt it for the moment. And then when she was gone and started writing stuff, when it scared him, like, damn, I was just actually maybe considering something and you like totally just scared me with your words.
Absolutely. I could see that being the thing where he was on the fence, or he's like, oh, that was nice, maybe we should do it again. And she just went so far with the inner
scary
fantasy.
It was scary. It's like kind of scary. It's like, you know, those things as a woman, sometimes I feel like we give so much, we say sometimes the wrong things, and like, guys, you guys are more like just straight to the point. Tell me what you want, tell me what you like, and we're good. But with us, we get into our feelings and our emotions, and sometimes we kind of overtalk. So, I mean, I think she just was trying to let it all out, and it just didn't come out the right way, where he was like, okay, I get it. Because I didn't get it, you didn't get it, you didn't get it. Mm-hmm. He didn't get it.
It also, she says it's her ex, right?
Yeah.
So if it's her ex, I mean, I wonder, there's a lot of context that's not here, like you said.
See, there's stuff she's leaving out, and I don't know if that's intentional or she's just trying to make a short post online, but without the full context, it does just seem like this is one side of the story.
Yeah.
I would love to hear Jay's side. Because I don't know, Ron, tell me if you feel the same way. Sometimes when somebody, it doesn't even have to be relationship wise, if they're telling you about a plan or an expectation they have that involves you, and then it starts to, it goes beyond like what you're doing this week and next week and this month to like, what's it like in 6 months? Oh, we're going to do this in a year. Oh, we're planning. I had a girlfriend that wanted to plan a Thanksgiving trip to Disney World and stay at Disney because Thanksgiving Thursday, it's decorated for fall. And when you wake up on Black Friday, overnight, the Disney park cast members change it over to all Christmas. So she wanted to be there Thursday, go to sleep, wake up on Friday. Oh my God, it's Christmas. Mm-hmm. And not only was the idea of going on a trip with this, well, listen, I realized what I was in. It's like, I'm not going to be with you in this amount of time. I don't think. I'm just seeing the writing on the wall. But then the stress of, well, it's $1,200 a night or whatever it was, because she wanted to stay at the
castle.
Whatever the nautical club. There's some hotel up there that's like, they're all different themes.
Yeah.
So she wanted a certain theme, which is the more expensive one. And I'm like, can't we just go on like the jungle one that's significantly cheaper? No. So she made these plans. Yeah. And for me, maybe it's the same for you. Once it starts becoming that, it's overwhelming, where it's like,
yeah, I get that.
It feels like now there's a little bit of agency or a little bit of control over your own life that you've lost.
I do feel that. Yeah, I get that.
And just so you know, plans for looming over your head like that.
Like you're trying to do day by day, and they're like, by next year, this is what I want to do.
Yeah,
you're like,
right. Wait, it's like, well, we should start playing. You know, maybe we get proposed in the next 18 months or so. I was like, well, we had 3 dates. Why are we talking about this?
I mean, you're amazements. You can't be mad that they fall for you.
Yeah. I do feel bad for this one. One time I'd been dating a girl for like 2 or 3 weeks. We'd maybe been on 4 dates. And she goes, I live in Hartford. She goes, I want you to drive to Seymour to meet my mother.
4 dates then?
And I was like, seems a little soon. Mm. And then later that day, she was like, hey, we're breaking up because you didn't want to meet my mother. And I'm like, that sounds very fair. This is a very transactional thing, and I don't disagree.
Yeah.
You wanted me to meet your mother. We've been on 4 dates, and I thought it was weird for me to meet your mother after 4 dates, because meeting your mother implies to me a long-term relationship that could be leading somewhere, and I don't want to meet somebody's mom that far. I want to meet somebody's mom 6-8 months in.
Yeah,
you know what I mean?
You don't know
3 months, a quarter. Give me a quarter.
Dates.
Quarter one of 2026, and then we can meet your mom. You know what I mean? Something like that.
Yeah, that.
Well, she saved you.
No, she did.
Well, at least, like you said, a little transactional, but at least both of you were upfront about, hey, this is what I would like to happen. And then you to go, well, I just think this is a little soon. And then her to go, okay, well, then I don't think it's.
It was a very mature breakup, and might have been the most mature breakup I've ever had, considering I've had people be like, within the last 2 years, be like, he keyed my car and all this other stuff. And I'm like, listen. If you do know, it's like, obviously we didn't date for that long because you don't know me well enough. I'm Italian. I'm not keying your car. I will put a baked potato in the tailpipe so when you start it, it catches on fire. Okay. You know what I mean? I'm not
so considerate.
Well, I'm thinking.
He's hungry.
I'm thinking key. Well, I learned that from a Hardy Boys book in elementary school.
Really?
The Hardy Boys, not the wrestlers, the 1950s detective brothers were in, it was a novel, and they were being followed by somebody. So they were at a diner, and he took the baked potato off of his plate, one of the Hardy Boys, and he snuck out and he put the baked potato in the tailpipe of the van of the guy that was following them.
Amazing.
And then they left, and as he was going, the exhaust overheated the car, and they got away. How do I remember this 30 years later?
That's amazing.
I don't
so
know.
Fun.
But in my head, when I think of people like keying cars, I'm like, that's such like a bitch move. Like, I would never key somebody's car. If I'm going to do something to somebody's car, I'm going to make sure you got to call in an insurance claim. You know what I mean? Don't accuse me of keying somebody's car.
Mm-hmm. I once had a girlfriend who, and I won't give her name, but it was a very tumultuous relationship. And we worked together as well. And she would always start a fight at work. And so she would leave first, or I would leave first, because we were cut at different times. We were servers. And I remember I just didn't want it to continue. So we had lived together. So I went to a commuter lot down the street. I parked. And she knew that's where I would go when we were in an argument, if I just didn't want all the headache of everything that was just building, because she would get pretty intense. And so I went, I parked, I was sleeping, and I wake up. I was ignoring her call, and I wake up to headlights. I'm behind in the driver's seat with my seat back, and headlights across the passenger side facing me. And she didn't do it in like where she flipped my car, but she literally, I answer the phone finally because I see that her Jeep is there with the lights on. And she's like, I'm about to hit you. And she was like, you better get your ass home. And I was like, I'm not going to do this. And I hung up, and she literally came over and like rocked the car with her Jeep.
Holy shit!
Was she Puerto Rican?
She was not Puerto Rican.
Oh wow! Okay, I'm sorry. Her
name,
I have a cousin.
Was her name Becky?
We know people.
I was just gonna say she's got a cousin. Yeah. I've got an ex.
Yeah, listen,
I have an ex
like,
who was a Jeep girl and only owned Jeeps, and she would put that thing to work.
Really?
If you did something, you know what I mean?
Did you go home?
Yeah. What did you do?
I think that night I did not go home. I think I probably told her I was going to call the cops or something. And we did end up staying together for a little while longer. And now we, strangely, she lives across the country and she's always like, you should move out here and we should get back together. We get along so well now. And I was like, we get along so well now because we don't live
together
because we don't talk every day because we have nothing at stake.
Exactly. No, I think you're right. And she's like, oh, you should come across the country and hold me like a dying Victorian woman. But it's very much this situation that you're talking about, that we talked about from Reddit, where they broke up. You know, I always say to somebody, and it's a stupid, old, cheesy phrase, if they're your ex, they're your ex for a reason.
It's true. I agree.
It might be a thousand-year-old phrase, but it's meaningful because it's right. There was something there. Yeah. And whether that's something that you can work out and then become a couple later, but usually, if someone's your ex, they're your ex for very good reason.
I agree. 1,000.
I've had the same, you know, we've been through similar things here where you have somebody long distance and it's so much easier to be even just in a friendship with somebody who's that much more long distance. And brother, I'm so glad that you're not involved in that anymore.
I'm happy you're not moving.
Oh my God.
Finding a love again.
Yeah, no, don't.
Rekindling it.
I tell her we could be friends. We could talk on the phone. We'll talk on the phone like maybe twice a month.
Oh, that's nice.
It's always very pleasant.
That's perfect.
But she's always venting about somebody else. It's never about me. You know what I mean?
And the anxiety comes back in your soul. And you're like, remember that one night she tried to kill me?
Oh, there were multiple nights she tried to kill me.
Oh.
Yeah, there's lots of stories.
Wow,
we're just gonna bring him back.
We should talk
more. We're just gonna talk about you.
Well,
that's it,
dude. I'm glad that I have somebody else to have like a support group with, because one of the girls I dated one time had too much to drink at a bar, as she was known to do, and she was standing outside the bar, and me and one of my good friends at the time were trying to convince her not to get, because all three of us had cars. This was a bar in my town. We were 5 minutes from my house. There were two perfectly sober people that could have driven her home, and she wanted to drive. She goes, nah. You know what I mean? When somebody can't pronounce the word no, you're too drunk to do anything. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
She sounds like Cartman from South Park.
Yeah. She got a yeah. But that was she Cartmaned a little bit, but then she got into the indignant white woman voice, like the I'm owed something voice. Like, I don't care. I'll drive and I'll kill everybody on the road. I'm gonna go drive. I'm driving home. It's 5 minutes away. And I'm like, stop. I will not tell the whole story because it's a long story. We eventually let her drive home, following her. She makes it. She shouldn't have driven. Don't let your...
I've done that. Followed a friend.
But it wasn't just us, because the bar was next to a 7-Eleven. Oh. Cops hang out at 7-Eleven, you know? That's just where they kind of hang out. So he grabs one and he comes over. So one cop becomes about half a dozen, maybe eight. And they're all in a circle trying to convince, because she's not, doesn't have a gun. She's not violent. She's just standing there screaming. She's like, screw you. I know a cop in this town. Blah, blah, blah. My friend's a sergeant. She pulls out her cell phone in the middle of all these cops and she wakes her friend up in the middle of the night. Puts one speaker on. Tell your cop friends are here. Tell them all to leave me alone. And he's like, what happened? Let them leave me alone. And he's like, God. And somebody picks up the phone and talks to him. He must have talked him down, because they're like, out of here. We're just gonna, you know, a cruiser will find. We made it home. This shouldn't happen. I won't tell you where or when. None of this should happen ever. My favorite tidbit of the story is there was a redheaded cop with short hair, kind of looked like Bill Burr, and he looked over to one of the other cops and he goes, I wish she wasn't so and so's friend. I want to taser her so badly right now. And the other guy just looked at him and went, yep. And me, I was dating, I dated her, we broke up, we got back together, we ended up breaking up, but we did that a couple times. In the back of my mind, I was like, how much money do I need to give this cop to taste
it?
Because honestly, that's a way out for me. Mm-hmm. If you go to the bar and get drunk and get tased by a cop, I can just break up with you. That's like, you know, voiding the warranty or whatever, you know, it's perfect. So, yeah.
I think the biggest shame is on that sergeant friend. Like, what a piece of garbage that he's just like, yeah, let's just let this girl continue to act like this for the rest of her life.
So that was a big issue with her. You know, sometimes pretty privilege is a thing.
Oh, I agree. Okay. It definitely is. Mm-hmm. It is.
And listen, I was out kicking my coverage at the time. My mom would say different. She'd say, Vince, you're a very handsome boy. And she'd also say that girl wasn't good enough for you. And both of those things would be true.
So
but
true,
at the time, yes. I was out kicking my coverage because she was hot and she was in good shape. But yeah, it was an absolute, you know, you don't realize that until you meet somebody for one, that they're just like
personally. They say the hot ones are the crazy ones.
Yeah. And every so often her stuff will pop up on social media now and I go, it hasn't improved over the years, you know? So that's always sad. Because we all get wild in our 20s. Mm-hmm. There's a point where you reach about 30-something where the day after you've been drinking and you've been sitting in bed for 18 hours sipping on a Gatorade, you're like, I can't do this anymore.
Right. You come to a point where you're just
over it.
This
bitch is a professional. If there was a major league, she's the number one draft pick. You know what I mean? She's playing for the Pennsylvania Percocets. You know what I mean? She's like, she is out there. She's on the Manhattan Martinis. Like, she's a pro. She went pro. She's in the PGA Tour of alcoholism and drug use. So good for her. I can't.
Good for you getting rid of that.
Yeah, good.
Yeah.
Good for you. It takes a lot. It takes a lot in relationships to deal with anything like that, though. Because you're so, like, you, thank God you didn't go, you stayed with her for a little while, your girl, but you finally
separated.
Dude, I did
this girl for like a year and a half.
Yeah. I'm proud of both of you getting away from the crazy.
Thank you.
Yeah,
thank
and that's you. Why you have two cats and you're still just by yourself in peace. This is why. Because you don't know what you're getting into. So might as well just kind of just view from the outside.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
I would say, I mean, I don't know if it's the same for you, but you're about 2 years older than me. You've also been in a relationship, been divorced. I've never been married. Do you find it harder as you approached 40 to, like, not date necessarily, but to find someone you enjoy dating? Is it almost like the ark is built, the rain is coming, and, like, you know, we're the third giraffe and everybody else has their pairs and we're like, why am I the third giraffe? Like, everybody else has found it, and it's like, it just seems like to me either the odds are good, but the goods are odd kind of situation. But it just seems like harder. The older I get, the harder it is to even kind of be interested in going like, oh God, I got to go out. I got to meet this person. I got to put myself out there again and put bare my soul and tell my truth to this person. And then they just say in 3 weeks, they stop answering your text message. You know what I mean? It's like, do I want to put myself through that again? How do you feel about dating as you approach, you know, not middle age, because this isn't middle age anymore. We're just like in the freaking middle of it.
Well, I guess it depends on my life expectancy. I'm not, I do very much feel like I just have no interest. I have no interest in putting up with kind of what you see, what you interact with. Mm. Like, I don't tend to go to bars very often. There were times when I used to, but I tend not to go to bars very often or, you know, approach girls or anything like that. I'm just very happy the way things are. And a lot of that has become, like I said, now my son and my daughter are at an age where I do have a lot more time. I could date if I wanted to. I do have the time. It's not going to give them the wrong impression. For a long time, it was very much, I didn't want them to feel like I was trying to start over. I didn't want to take energy and time and focus from them to be in a relationship. But now that I could, I'm just not really interested in, you meet people or you see people and you're like, these qualities are not really.
Right. And part of it is, I guess, being picky. And part of it is also having standards. Like, you can call it being picky or being particular, but it's like, really, there are certain things you are willing and not willing to tolerate dating somebody. And I think guys get a lot of flack for that because oftentimes it does come out in, well, like, oh, no fat chicks, but it's not, that's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about, like, you know, being picky personality wise or their life choices wise. But I do feel like guys get kind of dumped on for being like, oh, well, you broke up with this girl for some, like, you know, whatever the reason is, this, whether it's superficial or whether it's something real, it's like, oh, typical guy, you just didn't want to work on your woman or whatever, you know. I don't know. You're a little bit, you have a little bit different experience. You know, you're not always automatically going on the side of the girl's argument, yeah, as we see on the podcast.
Right now, I'm dealing with a lot of friends on my side that are going through a lot of the same things you guys are going through. So they're dating guys. They're going on dates. These guys are presenting themselves as, oh, I want to find the one. You know, I don't want to have sex. I want to be able to get to know you. And then that's something, a way that men usually don't like kind of push through. So I think it's just another game they're playing because, you know, I have these friends that are like getting involved, like, wow, he's finally different. Like, this is the one. And then as soon as he does something she doesn't like, as in like, hey, you said you were going to call me and you didn't, like, you could have texted me anything, you know, because she said something, now he will ghost her and not talk to her ever again. So now she's like, wait, what did I say? What did I do? And it's like, I feel like today nobody has respect for anybody. It's like, you know, I feel like me, myself, I wouldn't put myself in a position if I did not want something. Like, if I want something, like if me and you click or you and I click, like, I want to see what can happen with that. I don't want to be mean to you. I don't understand. I feel like there's so many people out there right now are so visually like, if you're not hot, I'm not going to talk to you. Yep. Or if, and I feel like sometimes you just have to like break through that and like kind of get to know people. Like, that's why I love being social like I am, because you get to meet so many people. So it's like, maybe not the hottest person, but like they have the best personality, mm-hmm. and like I want them around me. Or, you know, with my cousin, she found this handsome man and always in another state. And, you know, there's always something. And like, you know, she's willing, like, oh, he's coming here. This is going to be it. And then all of a sudden they disappear. And it's like, I don't understand. So dating right now over, I think, 40 is probably one of the hardest things. 35, 40, mm-hmm. I say 40.
Yeah.
Because you're going sometimes older than what you are, because you're realizing the younger girls are just there for fun. They're not anything serious. And I don't know. I just feel like right now the dating pool is kind of really hard and people are going towards apps, and then apps are just there for sex. And then like you just really aren't connecting with people face to face anymore. And I think we need to do more of that. I feel like that's how, you know, like you said, you go to the bar, you're sitting at the bar drinking and you're seeing somebody and you're just kind of like, hey, yeah, get up and go over yeah. there. You know, I know it's hard, but right, like, yeah, take that shot and walk your butt right over there.
Because like, I appreciate the way you are. So you have such a great personality and you're very outgoing. If I lived the life you lived, I would be freaking exhausted.
I am exhausted. Don't bother me after 8 o'clock. Then I'm moody.
After 8 p.m.?
After 8 p.m.
Okay, good. Well, I become after 8 a.m. and she's doing fine right
yeah,
now.
Oh, no. Yeah, no, I'm good. At 5 o'clock, I talk to people at 5 a.m. They're like, how are you up this hyper? I'm like, because by 8 p.m., don't talk to me. I'm moody and I'm cranky and don't talk to me. And I believe that I've turned into Yolanda, which is my real name.
Right, right. Mm-hmm.
But yeah, no, I feel like, but the thing is, even when I met you, your personality stood out to me. So it's not like, I feel like you're not shy and I'm, you know, you have to have that same personality, how right. you approach me or even meeting another person, like the same openness, mm-hmm. you need to do that to people. Cause sometimes that person that you waved at is just as shy as you are.
Right. That's very true. I don't know. I feel like we talked about this on one of the earlier mm-hmm. episodes, is that I'm more comfortable talking to people in the context of a performance or entertainment or right. whatever, whether it's on stage or radio or a podcast. Yeah. It's like, if there's a microphone in front of me, I feel way more comfortable about formatting my thoughts and yeah. like, because there's a certain amount of forethought you have to have when talking into a microphone that could be going out to a lot of people. You have to you don't censor yourself, but you measure yourself and you figure out what you're going to say mm-hmm. so that you come across as well spoken or articulate, or people get yeah. your point. Doing that in person is like, well, it's that, like a real, right. Think. But it's you a real exercise. No, but that's the thing. If I'm speaking off the top of my head, yeah. that's a real life exercise of like, oh, okay, you know what
yeah.
I mean? Of
yeah,
like,
I get what you mean.
Of should I try to do this thing where I take the time to think of a thought that's like a soundbite, like a podcast? Or do I jump in and just go, okay, I'm going to shut the thinking part off and just let the conversation happen? Because there's, I don't know, we do comedy. There is a predisposition, at least for me, to always go for the bit, to always go for the joke. And then maybe, because my being a comic, my sense of humor is different than a regular person's sense of humor, is to like either just bit and tag it up and just beat a bit into the ground. Or do tell like a, like, get too dark. Like, oh man, you went one too far. Like you were having fun for three tags and then that fourth tag killed the room. And it's like, that's what kills the conversation. So like, I don't know. It's a lot of things where I feel like, I don't, I, just feel like I'm doing bits sometimes. You know
when
what I mean?
When you're meeting people?
Yeah, when I'm meeting people, I feel like I'm doing bits.
Man, that's...
Like the Caillou, like that Caillou thing I had in my pod, just knowing, just remembering that guy and then being like, hey, you guys have kids. You remember Caillou? Like, that was not a bit, but it was like a thing I have in my pocket in case, like, you know, there's a social interaction with people who are parents or like whatever. Like, we have a magician coming on next week. I've got all stuff about dating magicians. Yeah. It's like, I always try and keep something in a conversation to like, okay, you get that, you know, like they want to look at me like, oh, you get that I'm a certain type of person. Like, I want to mirror that energy. Yeah. And like, but also like, it's just, I'm constantly, it feels like I'm playing either D&D or something in my head where, yeah, I'm like rolling dice and I'm looking at my skill sheet. Yeah. And I'm like, what are we talking about? What are, yeah, we doing next? Like, they just said, it's like Fallout when the dialogue comes up.
Yeah.
And it's like, they said this. And what do you respond? And it's like the regular answer. And then it's like, the silly answer.
Yeah, yeah, I get it. And I just like pictured all those,
it. And I'm like, okay, which one do I go? You know, am I trying to like, because sometimes I'll know. I'll be like, I'm not interested in this person. I'm just going to yuck it up. And then I just do bits the whole time.
And then you're fine. But yeah. When it's something.
But if it's something, right. Then if it's like, oh, I think I might like this person. Then it's like, oh, well, now the Who Wants to Be a Millionaire music comes on. And all the lights just. It's like,
with
all right.
The heartbeat.
Yeah.
I think the three of us need to go out to a bar. And I need to see how you guys interact with people.
Oh, wow.
I feel like we should. I'll wear meta glasses, so then it's incognito, and I can see what's going on and read the room with you guys, and just kind of talk it over with you. I think it would be fun, like a fun adventure.
Yeah,
you'd see a lot of a grown man drinking Angry Orchard cider and looking at his iPhone. But
we will not. I will be collecting those phones in the beginning of this process.
Where are we? What kind of bar are we? Is this a bar? Like, am I going to have to learn the words to Suavemente? Because I only know Besame. That's all I know. I know those two words. I know Suavemente.
That's all you need. Listen, it depends what bar. What kind of bar are we going to? We're going to talk about this. I'm not kidding. Like, look out for these two, okay? Just saying.
I love this idea. I actually will 100% do this.
I think we should do this, and I think this should be the outing.
It would be great, because I would go to the, what I would do is we'd all go to the bar and be like, guys, I'll be right back. I go to the restroom, I come back out, and as I'm walking to the bar, I drop like my keys or a glass or something. I go, oh my God, it's Nathan Fillion from The Rookie! Just to see what people would do. No, see, that's an example of a bit that I would do.
And this is why I'm going out with you both.
Right. No, this is why you need to.
And this is why I'll be there.
But the problem is, The reality of the situation is, at the end of the night, the person who would go home with the most women's phone numbers is you.
You know, I'm not even denying it, but at least it's okay. True. I'm not even going to say that's a lie. But honestly, like I said, we're gonna. I'm just really excited to do this because I think, like, both of you are very good looking. You both have very good personalities. I know you both well enough to know that, like, you're people that somebody would want to get to know. So you can put your comedic self out there, but also it's a balance. Like I said before, I love to laugh. I am like all about laughing rather than being with the person who is just like boring. And I don't want that. I get bored easily. So if I'm not laughing, if I'm not entertained, I don't want you. And it's like, I feel like you're funny as hell to talk to. Right. You're funny. Like, we bonded for a reason. Like, I met him the first time and I kept forgetting his name. And all I kept doing was laughing and be like, Melissa would be like, oh, Ron. I'm like, who are you talking about? And he's like, I've been here talking to you for an hour. Like, literally, right. it's the point that there's a reason why we connected and I want to help. I think it'd be fun. I know you guys would want to see me out with these two handsome fellas.
I'm down to do it. I think.
Yeah, let's do it.
I think we definitely.
It'd be fun, like on the road, like, the road kind of thing.
I think it'd be really fun.
I was actually thinking about earlier as I was driving in today. I'm like, man, if we did a live show, what like bar? I've got a couple that I could probably talk to do like a live recording from, but also just going out and you could be observing like David Attenborough.
I would be hiding in the wings. I'd be hiding in the wings. And you know what's so cool about it is you're comfortable with a mic. Something like that might be something that helps you be more comfortable. So now you're talking to people, bringing them over, and you're getting to know people. And at the end, you put the mic down and then you're like, oh my God, you know, it was so nice to. But those are things you could do, like use what you have and what you're good at.
Right.
And approach people the right way and show them who you are. You know what I mean? Rather than you being at a bar, nobody knows who you are.
Right.
You don't have your mic. You know, everybody has that blanket. Yeah, yeah. Everybody has that baby banky. You know, and that's, I mean, unless you want to bring one of your Funkles.
I could bring one of my, you weren't here for this one. I'll get your facial reaction as well. I own 2,400 Funko Pops.
Oh my God.
I own 9 professional wrestling championship belts. I have a wall of about 50 autographs from celebrities, and I have 7 dresser drawers full of various degrees of fat or skinny clothes from throughout my life. I'm probably a hoarder. I say probably because I don't want to put out I am a hoarder as a definite statement on the internet, but I'm probably a hoarder. I needed to get your reaction to the Funko Pop thing.
Yeah, I heard about the Funko Pop, but I did not catch the number.
Yep.
That number. Yeah. But also, I'm going to go ahead and guess that you're organized about this. Autographs.
The autographs are organized. The Funko Pops are split up because there's just so many of them.
Yeah.
And, you know, they all come in those little cardboard boxes, and the boxes are very, they take up a lot of space. Mm. So there's some rooms, you know, one room has like a big, did I send you pictures? I sent you pictures.
Yeah. Yes, you did.
Yeah. So there's that.
But you know, there's somebody out there that also has a bunch of Funko. We just have to find her.
Yeah.
And then they're going to have a whole collection together. So it's going to be like a big house and it's going to be perfect. Nobody's a hoarder. She has her own collection. You have yours.
I kind of want it to be like the end of 40-year-old virgin where that guy was like, he made all that money off of toys.
There we go.
That's where my mind thought went to is you probably have a nice collection.
I mean, Pokemon cards, magic cards, everything.
Like it goes deep. It goes deep.
My collections run deep. Mm. I buy guitar. Like, I haven't bought a guitar in years, but I'll buy a guitar. You know what I mean? Like, I've got like 5 guitars now. It's just like, I'll just be like, oh, that's nice. Yeah, do I play? You know, I play guitar, but it's like, do I play that particular guitar? No. You know, it's just nice to look at.
But I like it. Yeah. I do that. You go out and you see something you like, you're like, oh, I'm going to buy it. It's fine. Mm.
And one thing I did want to mention about the bar thing, we talked about this in our episode with Ophelia, was that, you know, they sometimes send me out for the radio station to do these gigs where, like, I record stuff, record videos or interviews with people at bars. And, like, it's a struggle for me because I'm not as comfortable doing that, like, one-on-one interaction thing. Except one that I remembered as you were talking about, like, you know, the stuff just a few minutes ago about kind of, like, being out in public and the way you act in public. The most comfortable I ever was on one of those videos was Ryan Reynolds and Sean Levy were doing a speaking engagement at Yale last year, right after Deadpool versus Wolverine came out. And we went down there, and Ruth had the microphone, but I was dressed in a full Deadpool costume with the mask and everything. So literally, there were no consequences. I just went up. I acted like Deadpool. I danced behind people while they were answering questions. I was like, what's your favorite Ryan Reynolds movie? Mine's The Green Lantern. Like, just shit like stuff like Deadpool would do. Because I'm like, screw it. There's a man. Nobody knows who I am. I'm running around New Haven dressed like Deadpool. I can just get away with that. If it was just me with my face, I'd feel like I can't do it. Like, there's always a part of me that's like, this is you, this is your face, this is your image, and like, as a person who is public facing some of the time, do you want to go out to a bar and somebody has an experience where like, ah, that guy from the radio came out to the bar and told this like nasty joke that nobody liked or whatever, you know what I mean? Like, I'm always thinking of that thing of like, this is like, not the moneymaker, but this is the thing that people might recognize from YouTube or from the radio or whatever, and then they're like, oh, that guy's an asshole, because like, I'm... I just said something that came naturally to me.
Yeah.
So that's why when we talk about like the pause and the thinking and like the sound bites in a natural conversation as opposed to a podcast, that's part of it too. It's like, part of me is like, they're always going to remember you as the dude who said that thing. If they, you know, if there's something to be remembered.
That's true. I don't know. Well, maybe you can go in costume and then someone can go, oh, you remember that night that Deadpool held my face like a Victorian doll? that night at that bar. Maybe you do it in costume.
I'm going to have to scrub through the entirety of Deadpool and Wolverine now to find a scene where Deadpool holds Wolverine. Because I'm sure there's one in there.
There has to be.
And then that's going to have to be, well, I'll put it in somewhere. I'll throw it on the reel or the screen or something, because you just tied it all together here from women in the airport dying like a Victorian woman.
Drowned.
Through the bars, through the anxiety, into the costumes, all the way back out the other end. It's now Deadpool holding Wolverine in Heathrow Airport, saying goodbye, like the finale of Friends. Oh, no, it was the debut of Friends. In the finale, she got off the plane.
They were on a break.
I love when the producer just nods along. He's like, yep, no, I get it. I got your reference. He's like, it wasn't funny, but it was factual. So thank you for that. The last thing I'll ask here as we're wrapping up, the question here, how can I help support a future comedian's dream? It's a woman who started dating a stand-up comedian. And she said, you know, what is your advice to somebody who's recently started dating a stand-up comedian? There is some very good advice in here about, like, you have to be okay with being by yourself sometimes, or being alone, or them being out of the house. You know, they might have anxiety and express it to you about their, you know, their career. Because it's not a career. You don't apply for a job as a stand-up comedian. So there's anxiety and stuff like that. But I would say my biggest advice, and then I'll ask you, my biggest gift of advice, if you really want to support a comedian, you're dating them, you date them for like 5 years, and then right before they're about to propose to you, you break up with them. So they've got another 5 years of material.
That's
just
brilliant.
Break their heart. You know, if you could break their heart or die of a terminal illness, and then they've got material for the rest of their life, they will never run out of stuff to talk about.
That's a really great angle. Like, just being a provider of premises.
Yeah.
I understand. That's smart. That's good.
I wonder if there's a way you could do that where, like, you like not like hire a girlfriend, but like, I just want to follow you around and just document the dumb shit you do throughout the day. And then I can be like, oh, my friend Ron over here, look at this guy, throws his red shirts in with his white underwear, folks, or whatever the joke. I don't know what the joke would be.
I do have to say, I will say this. I think the fact that she is that this type of post,
right.
The fact that there's somebody, and I'm assuming it's a she, but I
yes,
don't mean to sound
yeah,
so
yeah.
It could be anybody. But the fact that they are posting in an effort to be supportive of someone that they started right. dating, that person to me sounds like a really cool, very thoughtful person. And I'd say just the fact that that's on their mind is shows that they're
I do like that.
Their head's in the right place, and they're very. This stand-up comedian is lucky to be with somebody who's even thinking about that.
No, I think that's the best way to put it, is that she was forward thinking, because there are a lot of people like that other one we discussed. We had a prior episode about discussing comics where it was, I'm afraid of him making me a bit. I'm afraid of him making me a joke. And that was somebody focusing on the very negative, like what could go wrong? And this person is looking at the, what can I do to make it go right? So it's just a difference in, you know, mindset there. My other one I'll leave you with is somebody said on our stand up, anyone ever dated a fellow comic? How did it turn out? And the top comic is terrible. In the end, there wasn't even a callback.
Oh, God.
Right, it's good, but it's not. You know what I mean? Like, it wasn't even a callback. Is there a way to reframe? Because they didn't call you back, but then he called. Callback,
Yeah.
We could workshop that.
It's a workshopable thing. It's a, like you said, it's a good concept. I think it could use a little fine tuning.
Yeah, I was trying to find a good joke in this one to close it out with, and that was like the corniest one. And then all of them, you know, everybody else, as usual on Reddit, the top comment is a joke, and then everybody else is like serious stuff, like we were just saying about, you know, making time, and you know, you could be by yourself, and they could have anxiety. All the usual stuff is in there, but I thought in the end there wasn't even a callback for dating a comic was a pretty.
That is
pretty succinct way of putting it.
It sure is. It's a good way to tag that.
We went from airports and sad corned beef sandwiches to dressing like Deadpool and holding Wolverine in your arms like a dead Victorian woman. We'll close it out for today. If you want to follow the show, laughableadvice@gmail.com is where you can email us. If you have a story you want to share, whether it's a Reddit story you found or your personal story, you can also follow us at Laughable Advice, all one word, on Instagram, Twitter, TikTok, Facebook, and YouTube, especially because the full video comes out on YouTube. So follow us there. And my personal socials are at OSnapVince, OSnapVince, all one word. Throw it in your favorite app. I'm probably on there. Hit me a follow. And how about you, Ron? Where can people find you?
People could find me at ronhillimprov.com, and you could reach me that way, or I am on Instagram from time to time at ronhillcomedy.
Excellent. How about you, D? How do people get a hold of you?
You could find me on Insta or TikTok at RealDTV. That's R-E-E-L-D-E-E. Real D T. You get it. Real DTV, double E's for everything. Love, like, add, and share some fun comments. We hope to hear from you.
Yes, please. And on your way out, if you could hit a like, a comment, a share, yes. Any of those things all help with engagement, and they help in the algorithm. They help more eyes get on the podcast. We're still doing this new thing, so if you can get us higher up in the algorithm. If this is YouTube, hype. There's a hype star. Ooh. If this video has come out within 3 days of when you're watching it, hit that hype star. It's absolutely free. Mm-hmm. It does nothing for us. It doesn't give us money, but it puts us up on a leaderboard so people can see us. So if we can get up on the leaderboard, maybe we can get some more eyes on the product here. So thank you guys for tuning in. We'll be back. As long as you're subscribed, you'll see the next one on Laughable Advice. Take care.
Bye.